Moncrief on News Talk.
The CSO is probably going to expand the range of questions it asks in the next census, due to take place in 2027. And two of the areas under consideration are those of sexuality and gender. Nothing controversial then. It's already taking submissions, and one of the groups has already put one in, is Belong to Youth Service. Monia Griffith is their CEO. And Monia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Why is it, in the first instance, why do you think it's important to have information about LGBT people in the census at all?
Because we make up part of the community, although a small minority. We don't have an accurate picture of how many of us and where we're living, that kind of thing. We know, we base our research, there is quite a bit of research done on the LGBT community here in Ireland, including one that we just launched with Trinity College last week in relation to mental health. And it paints part of a picture in relation to our experiences. So to say something like 75% of LGBT people are at risk of experiencing mental health problems because of discrimination paints part of a picture. But if we don't have an accurate picture of how many LGBT people live in this country, it's hard for us to then talk to health service executives, you know, people in planning around services and around future planning about what that actually means. So it kind of leaves a gap in terms of painting an accurate picture of how many of us here are here and in this country and where we live and where we need to be putting in those services for LGBT people.
Is there a danger, though, that, you know, if, you know, this kind of information is included in the net census and it's published, that it'll be used as a political stick either way by certain people who might say, well, it's only 4% of the population, so why should we care what they think?
Well, we think it's much more than 4%.
Yes, I was using a mad example.
Yeah. Well, we guesstimate somewhere between 6 and 10% based on the Kinsey scale, but in other jurisdictions, you know, it's most notably in the UK, it's much higher than that. I think it's important in the way that we measure and track the number of people, for example, of different races living here in Ireland or with different abilities living here in Ireland, to really show, you know, to give visibility to, I suppose, greater visibility to a minority community here in Ireland, but also to be able to plan in terms of services and to meet the needs of a small but significant minority community here on this island.
And in your submission, you have made suggestions as to, you know, how questions might be phrased. Given this will probably, if it does appear, and probably will in 2027, is there also a danger of, well, some of the terminology may have changed by then?
Yeah, that is quite true. Language is changing, and the way people self-identify, especially in relation to their gender and their sexual orientation, does change. And that's why we were saying that, you know, government should really have a consultation with the wider community to decide what questions they describe. Well, we know from our own research that we've done over the past two decades here in Ireland on LGBT that there are particular labels that people will identify with, such as gay, lesbian, bisexual, things like that. And it's really important that we're able to disaggregate those, because obviously the experiences of a lesbian woman are going to be very different to those of a gay man. We know from our own research that, you know, the discrimination experienced by bisexual people is more than that's experienced by a gay man. And therefore, you know, in terms of looking at health services, including mental health services, it's important that we have that broken down, and so we ask people that. So it's not just a question of are you heterosexual, are you not heterosexual, in the same way as we don't ask people, are you white Irish or are you non-white Irish. It's important that we understand and have a complete picture so that we can meet the needs and have an accurate account or picture or story in relation to the people who live on this island.
Now, and one of the categories you're suggesting is mostly heterosexual. What's the difference between that and bisexual?
Yeah, well, so again, I think that would be a very interesting one to count or to measure, because from studies, especially again in the UK, we see that there are probably a lot more people who might self-identify as mostly heterosexual than completely heterosexual. Again, looking back at the Kinsey scale and people's experience of sexual orientation, it's not really, as black and white as we may have thought, 50 years ago. So again, it's important that people get to self-identify and see themselves told in their life experiences reflected back in the census.
But by the same token, then, would that not be an argument for having, say, a mostly gay man or mostly lesbian category as well?
Well, except for what we would probably there in those boxes, if you wouldn't. Yeah, if you could do that, for people who mightn't identify completely as lesbian, they might identify as bisexual or pansexual or something like that. I mean, the important thing, I suppose, is that we do the consultation with the community, and then that whatever labels we decide on, that there is a robust education program around it, so that both the invigilators, the people collecting the data, and the general public who are going to be asked the questions know exactly what we're asking and why we're asking, more importantly as well, as or equally as importantly, that we're asking, so that we can make sure that we have an accurate picture of a changing Ireland where people are becoming more aware of and able to describe their experiences of their sexual orientation or gender identity, or indeed people who are intersex talking about their sex characteristics. And then so that as, policymakers and those planning for now and for the future can make sure that that we meet the needs in terms of our schools, in terms of our healthcare, in terms of all sorts of things that we're planning into the future.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out as well that in your submission, you're leaving it an option where the people can self-describe if they look at the various categories and say, none of that really describes me, and then they get the chance to do that. Now, also as well, in the submission, you talk about gender. It's probably more difficult, I suppose, in the sense that people will describe themselves, their description is very unique to themselves. For instance, and a lot of people mightn't know this, if you're a trans person, if you're a trans man or a trans woman, you mightn't describe yourself as such. You might just describe yourself as a man or woman.
Correct. So for many reasons, I mean, everybody's journey is different, but for many people who... whose sex doesn't at birth doesn't match how they identify, how they are, they may just say I am a man or I am a woman or I am non-binary or some other label, and they may not then therefore self-identify as trans. So that's why we have suggested some questions around why the CSO might be able to ask questions and then categorize people for research purposes, but in terms of for example, trans healthcare and the need for that here in Ireland, we currently have none for people who are under 18. So again, it's really important that we capture that data so that the HSE can build that into their plans for current changes and for future changes in terms of service delivery.
Yeah, I would imagine though as well, people listening to us now might have concerns about security in terms of what happens to this information and who has access to it.
Yeah, I mean, right from the get-go, what we're suggesting is that, you know, that as part of that robust information and education around collecting this data, is that the CSO share with us what this why this information has been collected, and then how it will be stored, and all around you know, confidential data and how it's stored and how it's kept safe. They already collect quite a lot of very sensitive data in relation to us. You know, we think that as long as we the people who are being asked the questions understand that that how that information is kept safely, we'd feel more confident in sharing that data. And you know, it's part of a wider question, if that's what you're asking me, Sean, is in relation to how governments store very confidential data on us as citizens. You know, it's part of that conversation, but not to be, I suppose, signaled out be treated any differently to keeping information around disability or race or age or gender or anything like that.
Yeah. Monenya Griffith is CEO of Belong to Youth Services. Monenya, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.